Well, good morning, everyone.
Buenos días a todos.
We're so glad for everyone that is here with us this morning.
Estamos contentos de que estén todos ustedes aquí esta mañana.
And God bless everyone that has joined us online.
Y Dios bendiga a todos los que nos están escuchando en línea.
And so today we're going to continue our series on the story of the New Testament.
Hoy vamos a seguir escuchando las series de ¿qué?
The story of the New Testament.
La historia del Nuevo Testamento.
And today's lesson is lesson number 12.
Y la lección de ahora es la lección número 12.
And the title of our lesson this morning is The Other New Testament Letters.
Y el nombre de esta historia es la otra ¿qué?
Other New Testament Letters.
La otra historia del Nuevo Testamento.
And so this morning, let's go ahead and open in prayer and we will begin.
Vamos a orar.
Lord, we ask that you would bless our time this morning. We pray that you would open up your word, and I pray that you would bless everyone that has joined us this morning, whether in person or online. We pray that you would anoint the Sunday school lesson, that we would hear what you have to say. And give us understanding concerning, Lord, the general epistles, Lord, the other New Testament letters. And we pray that you would open up your word, give us eyes that see and ears that hear. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Again, the title of our lesson this morning is Other New Testament Letters.
Otra vez, la historia del Nuevo Testamento.
The central truth this morning is God's word portrays the Christian life.
La verdad central es la palabra de Dios describida en la vida cristiana.
Amen. God's word portrays the Christian life.
Dios describe la vida de los cristianos.
You know, God wants us as his people to display true Christianity.
Dios quiere que nosotros desplegamos la vida cristiana.
And so God will show us how to live through the Word of God.
So Dios nos va a enseñar cómo vivir en la vida de Dios.
And also he empowers us with the Holy Spirit.
Y también nos da el poder del Espíritu Santo para
seguirlo.
And
so thank God that he will help us.
Y gracias a él que nos va a ayudar.
And so we will be looking this morning at the general epistles.
Y vamos a mirar esta mañana en las epístolas generales.
These general epistles were the letters that Paul did not write.
Estas epístolas generales son las que Pablo no escribió.
And so we went through the study of the letters of Paul, part 1 and part 2.
Y vimos las cartas Pablo 1 y 2.
And today, we're going to look at those that were written by James or John and others in the general epistles.
Y ahora vamos a leer las cartas de Juan, Santiago, y todas esas epístolas.
And so, our key verse this morning is in it, our key verse is in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4.
Y el verso clave es de Segunda de Pedro 1:4.
And the key verse this morning, does somebody want to read the key verse if they have it? 2 Peter 1:4. Now this is Peter speaking to those that he was writing to.
Esta fue una de las cartas que Pedro estaba escribiendo.
And he expresses that God has given us great promises.
Y estaba explicando de que Dios nos iba a dar muchas promesas.
And through these promises, through God's word, he allows us and gives us the ability to partake in the divine nature.
Y en esta promesa se nos dice que él nos va a dar lugar a estar con él en todas estas promesas.
He gives us ability.
Nos da la habilidad.
And so praise the Lord for that.
So, alabemos al Señor por eso.
And so these eight letters that we will be looking at this morning.
So estas ocho cartas que vamos a estar mirando esta mañana.
They were not written by the Apostle Paul.
No fueron escritas por apóstol Pablo.
And so that's why they are known as the general epistles.
Por eso se conocen como las epístolas generales.
The ones that were written by Paul were known as the Pauline epistles.
Las que fueron escritas por Pablo fueron las, se fueron llamadas las de Paulino, epístolas.
Mm-hmm. And so today we're going to, the three of the letters were written by John.
Las tres cartas de, se fueron escritas por Pablo, por Juan.
Two of them were written by Peter.
Dos de ellas fueron escritas por Pedro.
One was written by James.
Una de ellas fue escrita por Santiago.
And one was by Jude.
Y una fue escrita por Judas.
Now remember, James and Jude were both the Lord's brothers.
Y recuerden que Santiago y Judas fueron hermanos de Cristo.
They were actual sons of Mary and Joseph.
Eran hijos actuales de María y José.
So some say they were Jesus' half-brothers.
Y algunos dicen que fueron medios hermanos de Jesús.
Now remember, Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, so it was a miraculous birth.
Recuerden que Jesucristo fue nacido por la Virgen María en un, ¿cómo se dice? En una, por obra del Espíritu Santo.
And so, the book of Hebrews,
so en el libro de Hebreos,
has an unknown author.
Y tiene un autor no conocido.
And so many believe it was Paul.
Muchos creen que fue Pablo.
But it's unsure.
Pero no es seguro.
And so Hebrews is usually within the place called the general epistles.
Y so Hebreos es, está incluida en la de las epístolas generales.
And so go ahead and turn to the book of Hebrews.
So vayan al libro de Hebreos.
And to, we're going to start our lesson there in Hebrews this morning.
Vamos a empezar nuestra lección aquí en Hebreos.
And so the first part is the preeminence of Christ.
Y la primera empieza con la preeminencia de Cristo.
Jesus Christ is over all.
Jesucristo es sobre todo.
He is Lord of Lords, King of Kings.
Él es Rey de Reyes y Señor de Señores.
So he's preeminent.
Es preeminente.
And so the first point this morning is Jesus is God's Son.
Y el primer punto es que Jesús es Hijo de Dios.
And so let's turn to Hebrews chapter 1.
Y vamos a estar en Hebreos 1.
And we're going to read Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4.
Y vamos a leer el capítulo 1, versículo 4.
Does anybody want to read those first four verses? These first four verses of Hebrews chapter 1.
Estos primeros versos del primero de Hebreos.
Show the preeminence of Christ.
Enseñan la preeminencia del Señor.
It begins to show how that God has always spoken to his people.
Empieza a decir cómo todo el tiempo ha hablado a su gente.
And I don't know about you, but I'm grateful that God speaks.
No sé con ustedes, pero yo estoy agradecido de que él todo el tiempo nos habla.
In the Old Testament, he spoke through the prophets.
En el Viejo Testamento él hablaba sobre por medio de los profetas.
But today he speaks through his son.
Y hoy nos habla con su hijo.
And it says clearly that he's appointed Christ to be the heir of all things.
Y aquí nos dice claramente que él es el heredero de todas las cosas.
That means that everything is his.
Eso quiere decir que él es. Todo es de él.
And it also speaks clearly that through him everything was made.
Y también explica claramente que todo lo que se hizo por él.
He is God's son.
Él es el hijo de Dios.
And God speaks through Christ to us today.
Y Dios nos habla sobre en medio su hijo
it's
hoy
through,
en día.
It's through Christ that creation even happened.
Es por medio de Jesucristo que todas las cosas fueron creadas.
To be honest with you, this world functions and it has its existence because of Christ.
Y honestamente, todo funciona aquí en el mundo porque fueron hechos por Jesucristo.
Another scripture says, in him we live, move, and have our being.
En otras escrituras dice que por él nos movemos en este mundo.
But it's all has its foundation in Christ.
Y todo tiene su fundación en Cristo.
He's the exact representation of God.
Es la exacta representación de Dios.
He is God.
Él es Dios.
Remember God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Recuerden que está el Dios Padre, Dios Hijo y el Espíritu Santo.
And so then in these verses 3 and 4.
Y aquí en los versos 3, 4.
Actually, verse 4.
En el verso 4, versículo 4.
It shows that Jesus Christ is better than the angels.
Nos enseña que Jesucristo es mejor que los ángeles.
And he's, of course, greater than the angels because he is the creator of the angels.
Y claro que él es mayor que los ángeles porque él es el creador de los ángeles.
And so the book of Hebrews begins to express that Jesus Christ is over all.
Y aquí en el libro de Hebreos nos explican que Jesucristo es todo.
And then in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6.
Y aquí en Hebreos 3, del versículo 1 al 6.
It shows that Jesus is even superior to Moses.
Nos enseña que él es superior a Moisés.
It says, and I'm going to read these verses, verses 1 through 6 of chapter 3.
Y vamos a leer estos versos de 1 al 6.
It says, therefore, holy brothers, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses was faithful in all his house. For the one who was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, in that he who builds the house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the one who builds all things is God. Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, testifying about those things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of our hope to the end. The writer of Hebrews,
el escritor de Hebreos,
is showing the preeminence of Christ.
Nos enseña la permanencia de Cristo.
That Christ is greater than the prophets.
Que Cristo es mayor que los profetas.
And now he's saying he's greater than Moses.
Y ahora está diciendo que es mayor que Moisés.
To those Jewish readers.
Para esos los que leen los judíos.
These words would have really kind of rocked their boat a little bit.
Les fuera caído como un balde de agua fría.
It would have shook them up.
Los hubiera, se fueran temblado.
Because the writer is lifting Christ to preeminence.
Porque el escritor está levantando a Cristo a permanencia.
It's calling him the creator.
Él le está diciendo que él es el creador.
Even greater than Moses.
Diciéndoles que es mayor que Moisés.
And so it would have been troubling to the Hebrews of the time.
Y hubiera sido muy problemático para los hebreos en esos tiempos.
But we must understand the preeminence of Christ.
Pero tenemos que entender la preeminencia de Cristo.
And that's what the Hebrew writer is bringing across.
Y eso es lo que está trayendo el escritor de Hebreos.
Now, our second point this morning,
y nuestro segundo punto esta mañana,
is Jesus is our high priest.
Es que Jesucristo es nuestro gran sacerdote.
Look at Hebrews chapter 7.
Vamos a ver en Hebreos capítulo 7.
And let's read verses 23 through 28.
Y vamos a leer versículos
23 through 28.
Del 23 al 28.
Somebody want to read those verses? Hebrews chapter 7, 23 through 28. These are powerful verses in the book of Hebrews.
Estas son palabras muy poderosas en el libro de Hebreos.
In the Old Testament,
en el Viejo Testamento,
there was a system of, or a sacrificial system that was administered or done by the priests.
Había
a sacrificial system.
Un sistema sacrificial.
that was done or administered by the priests.
Que era administrado por el sacerdote.
And those priests were the descendants of Aaron.
Y esos sacerdotes eran descendientes de Aarón.
And it was all of his sons, the descendants of Aaron, that were ordained to serve as priests.
Y todos esos descendientes de Aarón eran los que estaban ordenados para ser sacerdotes.
But the writer of Hebrews,
pero el escritor de Hebreos,
shows us that Jesus Christ is our high priest.
Nos enseña que ahora es Jesucristo nuestro sacerdote.
And he's going to show that Jesus is far superior to the priesthood of Aaron.
Y nos va a enseñar que él es muy superior a los otros sacerdotes.
And he begins to show, as we saw in verse 23,
y nos empieza a enseñar aquí en el verso 23,
that the priesthood was numerous.
Que el sacerdocio era numeroso.
And it's because of the fact that they didn't live forever.
Y era el factor era de que ellos no vivían por siempre.
They were human.
Eran seres humanos.
They would serve until they died.
Servían hasta que morían.
And then they would have to appoint others to serve in their place.
Y tenían que poner a otros en el sacerdocio.
They were human, as I said before.
Eran seres humanos, como dije antes.
That means they were not perfect.
Y tampoco eran perfectos.
They were sinners.
Eran pecadores.
They needed cleansing themselves.
Ellos también necesitaban limpiarse.
But Jesus,
pero Jesús,
is without sin.
Es sin pecado.
And he presented himself as the sacrifice for man's sin.
Y él se presentó él solo como la ofrenda.
And when he provided that sacrifice,
y cuando él se proveyó el sacrificio,
which is himself,
que era él mismo,
he did it once for all.
Lo hizo una vez por todo.
That means there is no need for any more high priests.
Eso quiere decir que no hay necesidad de más sacerdocios.
There is no more need for sacrifices.
No hay más necesidad de sacrificios.
Jesus did it all.
Jesucristo lo hizo todo.
And so the writer of Hebrews calls Christ the apostle and high priest.
So el escritor de Hebreos lo pone como el profeta y el sacerdote.
And the Hebrew writer continues to exalt Christ to that place of preeminence.
Y el escritor de Hebreos lo pone encima de todo.
Now, remember what Jesus did was permanent.
Recuerden que lo que Jesucristo hizo, lo hizo permanente.
The finished work of the cross will last for all eternity.
El final de la cruz lo hizo para siempre.
Praise the Lord.
Alabemos al Señor.
That means our salvation is secure in Christ.
Eso quiere decir que nuestra salvación está asegurada en Cristo.
That's why verse 25 says he saved us to the uttermost.
Por eso dicen en verso 25 que nos salvó por sobre todo.
We're saved for all eternity.
Somos salvos por toda eternidad.
We have an awesome salvation.
Tenemos una salvación hermosa.
Because Jesus is eternal, his finished work is eternal.
Porque Dios es eterno, su salvación es eterna.
What Jesus did is provided for all.
Lo que Jesucristo hizo fue está para todos.
But it's only effectual.
Pero es only effectual.
Upon receiving it.
Si lo recibes.
You see, God has made provision for all to be saved.
Dios hizo la provisión para que todos fueran salvos.
But he offers that salvation to those that will receive it.
Pero se las dio para todos aquellos que lo reciben.
The potential for everyone to be saved is there.
So, el potencial de que todos lo reciban está ahí.
But the fact is, not everyone is saved.
Pero el factor de que no es de que todos son salvos.
And why is that?
¿Y por qué es eso?
It's because he offers it to man as a gift.
Porque él se los ofrece al hombre como una dádiva.
And he offers it freely.
Y se lo ofrece gratis.
But he waits for us to choose to receive it.
Pero él espera para que ustedes lo reciban.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus is superior to the Levitical system of priests.
Jesús es superior al sacerdocio levítico.
And the reason why is because Christ is holy.
Y la razón es porque Dios, Cristo es santo.
He is blameless.
Es sin pecado.
He is set apart from sinners.
Él está apartado del pecado.
And he is exalted above the heavens.
Él está exaltado en todo el cielo.
Those priests were subject to death.
Los sacerdotes estaban sujetos a la muerte.
But Christ has conquered death.
Pero Cristo ha conquistado la muerte.
In the Old Testament, they sacrificed various things.
En el Viejo Testamento sacrificaban muchas cosas.
Such as animals, grains, even oil.
Animales, grano, aceite.
But Jesus Christ offered himself.
Pero Jesucristo se ofreció él solo.
And what's amazing is he was both priest and sacrifice.
Lo que es maravilloso es que se sacrificó él solo.
And his priesthood, the book of Hebrews will bring out.
Y su sacerdocio.
Was in the order of Melchizedek.
Fue en orden de Melchizedek.
In other words, it was a superior priesthood to that of Aaron and the Levites.
En otras palabras, era mucho superior a los de Levítico. De...
Of Aaron and the Levites.
Oh, and de Aarón y los Levitas.
And so, listen to this, and I want to ask a question and you can answer. What are some ways people attempt to reach God outside of Jesus? What are some ways people attempt to reach God outside of Jesus?
¿Cuáles son algunas de las formas en que la gente tratan de acercarse a Jesucristo?
And how should we respond when we see someone making such an attempt?
¿Y cómo respondemos a esas cosas cuando hacen ese atentado?
Again, what are some ways people attempt to reach God outside of Jesus? Works, Sister Gina says works. What else? Yeah. Yeah, so they're in their mind they think they're doing right. And so in their mentality they think they're good enough, right? Or they've earned it. Yeah, they haven't done anything wrong. I don't deserve hell. You know, I'm a good person, right? That's definitely one of the things that a person is trying to do it outside of Christ, right? What else?
Giving.
Whether it be giving of money, giving of their time. You know, there are some people that will go out and do, you know, good deeds. You know, there's an earthquake that hits, you know, God forbid, and they'll give of their time in humanitarian aid. Some people aren't even born again, but they have a care and a concern for humanity. Nothing wrong with that, but is that going to give them salvation? No, that's just another way trying to reach God that is really in vain. I think all of those really are all-inclusive, right? You know, when we say works, that includes doing good deeds, being religious, right? Even being religious is not enough to get into heaven, right? You know, you can read the Bible and have it memorized, all 66 books, and that's not going to get me or you into heaven. Our way into heaven is through Christ Jesus alone. He's the one that finished the work. He's the one that is perfect. He's the one that did everything and is necessary for our salvation in Christ. Amen? And so he did it all. Praise the Lord. And so our second part this morning...
Nuestra segunda parte esta mañana
is the provision of faith.
Es la provisión de fe.
And we need to understand, and you can turn to the book of James.
Y tenemos que entender.
James is right after Hebrews.
Vamos al libro de Santiago.
But we need to understand that faith produces good deeds.
Y tenemos que entender que fe produce buenas dádivas.
We just mentioned good works as a means for some trying to make it into heaven.
Esto quiere decir que muchos piensan que haciendo trabajos los va a llevar al cielo.
Good deeds do not save us.
Los buenos trabajos no nos salvan.
Good deeds don't make us right in the sight of God.
Buenos trabajos no nos hace ver bien en la vista del Señor.
But good deeds should be the byproduct of our faith in Christ.
Pero buenos trabajos debería de ser parte de nosotros estar con el Señor.
Faith produces good deeds.
La fe produce buenas obras.
James chapter 2 verses 14 through 26.
And in Santiago
chapter 2 verses 14 through 26.
Santiago 2 en el versículo 14 al 26.
It brings this out. So I'm going to read this if you don't mind. It says, "What does it profit, my brothers, if a man says he has faith but has no works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister is naked and lacking daily food, and one of you says to him or to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' and yet you give them nothing that the body needs, what does it profit? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But a man may say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. But do you want to be shown, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you see how faith worked with his works? And by works faith was made perfect? The scripture was fulfilled which says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead." James emphasizes the importance of works.
Santiago enfatiza aquí la importancia de las buenas obras.
But he's emphasizing it as the result of our faith.
Pero lo pone como el resultado de nuestra fe.
You see, it's important for us to balance our discussion of faith and works.
Es muy importante que nosotros pongamos en balance las obras de la fe.
And the reason why it's important is we need to understand that it's God's grace or through God's grace that we've attained that God's grace is attained through faith and brings us to salvation. Let me say it correctly.
Aquí nos dice que
that God's grace is attained through faith,
que la gracia de Dios es obtenida por la fe,
and brings us salvation.
Nos trae la salvación.
But as a result of our salvation,
en el resultado de nuestra salvación,
we are to live in a way that pleases Him.
Tenemos que vivir de una forma que Él le agrade a Él.
In other words, because we have faith,
en otras palabras, porque nosotros tenemos fe,
we have been born again.
Somos nacidos otra vez.
The result of that is going to be displayed in our works.
Y el resultado de eso se va a desplegar en nuestra fe.
James is dealing with an issue that was there in the church of his time.
Santiago está teniendo problemas aquí en desplegando estas palabras.
Some were saying, "I have faith."
Algunos dicen que tienen fe.
But their lives were contrary to what they were confessing.
Pero sus palabras estaban contradiciendo a cómo vivían.
And so he begins to show that faith without works is dead.
Y empezó a decir que la fe sin obras estaba muerta.
And he uses some illustrations to bring this out.
Y nos enseña ilustraciones aquí de cómo era eso.
And the first illustration he brings out is someone comes to an individual that is in need.
Y una ilustración es de si alguien está pasando por ahí y mira a alguien que está en necesidades.
It's as if this person is in really cold weather and knocks at the door and says, "Do you have an extra coat for me?"
Es como si alguien pasara por tu casa y toca la puerta y te pregunta que si tienes una cobija extra para él.
And that person has like three or four jackets in a closet, right?
Y esa persona tiene tres o cuatro chamarras en su closet.
But when they come and ask for, you know, a coat,
y cuando vienen y preguntan por una chamarra,
instead they say, depart in peace, be warmed and filled.
¿Cómo se dice? Te puedes ir en paz y que ojalá que estés caliente y abrigado.
And so they say, go ahead and go away. I bless you in Jesus' name.
Que Dios te bendiga, que te vaya bien.
But they don't give him a coat.
Pero no le dan una chamarra o algo.
In the same way, faith without works is dead.
En la misma manera, fe sin obras está muerta.
You see, a person can easily say, I have faith.
Es muy fácil decir que una persona tiene fe.
But faith is justified by its works.
Pero la fe está justificada por sus obras.
He even brings out the illustration of how you say you believe.
También viene la ilustración donde dices que tú crees.
And he says the demons themselves believe.
Pero también los demonios creen.
And they have such a belief that they tremble before God.
Y ellos creen tanto que ellos tiemblan ante el Señor.
But a demon cannot be saved.
Pero un demonio no puede ser salvo.
They believe.
Ellos creen.
But they're not saved.
Pero no son salvos.
And he's saying, again, I will show you my faith by my works.
Y aquí dice que te voy a enseñar mi fe por mis obras.
In other words, true faith is evidenced by good deeds.
En otra forma es la... la evidencia de la fe por buenas obras.
He uses another illustration by using Rahab as an example.
Aquí también usa la ilustración de Rahab.
When those spies went through the land, she protected them.
Cuando los espías fueron para dentro de la ciudad, ella los escondió.
She knew that God was with Israel.
Ella sabía que que Dios estaba con ellos.
She had faith in God.
Ella tenía fe en Dios.
And her faith was made valid by what she did.
Y su fe fue válida por lo que hizo.
She protected those spies.
Ella protegió a esos espías.
And so faith without works is dead.
So la fe sin obras es muerta.
Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1.
Váyanse a Segunda de Pedro, capítulo 1.
And notice how Peter brings out that we must add to our faith.
Y escuchen cómo Pedro decía que tenían que hacer obras.
We should add to our faith.
O que teníamos que añadir a nuestra fe.
Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 8.
En Segunda de Pedro, chapter
1, verses 3 through 8.
Del 3 al 8.
Does somebody want to read these verses? This is an amazing portion of Scripture.
Esta es una escritura muy importante.
Because Peter brings out, we have all that we need in Christ.
Porque Pedro saca de que todo lo que necesitamos es Cristo.
Verse 3 says, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Christ. Verse
3. I don't have it here.
Oh, okay. We have everything in Christ.
Tenemos todo en Cristo.
All that we need for life and godliness.
Todo lo que necesitamos es vivir una vida con Dios.
But then he says we should add to our faith virtue.
Pero también dice que tenemos que añadir a nuestra fe virtud.
Then knowledge.
Y luego conocimiento.
Self-control.
Control.
So on and so forth.
Y todo lo demás.
He wants us to build upon our faith.
Él quiere que construyamos nuestra fe.
Now this does not mean that we're working our way into heaven.
Esto no quiere decir que estamos trabajando para llegar al cielo.
But rather it's showing because we are saved.
Pero es porque somos salvos. Debemos trabajar.
It should be our desire to want to grow in the knowledge of God and be more like Christ.
Debe ser nuestro deseo crecer más y más para ser, para tener conocimiento.
You see, our faith is more than just something we say.
Si nuestra fe debe ser algo más de decir.
It's going to be evidenced in our lives and how we live it.
Tiene que ser evidencia de cómo vivimos.
Martin Luther said this.
Martin Luther dijo esto.
He said, good works don't make a man good.
Dijo, buenas obras no hace a un hombre bueno.
But a good man does good works.
Pero un hombre bueno hace buenas obras.
When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior,
cuando nosotros aceptamos al Señor como nuestro Señor y Salvador,
He made us good by faith.
Nos hizo buenos por fe.
Amen?
Amen.
And because we've been made good in Christ,
y porque fuimos hechos buenos en su obra,
the fruit of that relationship with God is going to be evidenced with fruit.
El fruto de esa evidencia va a ser conocida.
Turn to the book of Jude.
Vamos al libro de Judas.
As we look at be persistent in faith.
Donde vamos a mirar
being persistent in faith.
Persistir en la fe.
I remember when I first started going to church.
Yo recuerdo cuando empecé a ir a la iglesia.
Many, many years ago.
Muchos años atrás.
Me and my cousin started going to church together.
Que él y su primo empezaron a ir a la iglesia juntos.
And we were growing in the Lord.
Y estaban creciendo en el Señor.
And I remember one time I was at his house.
Y una vez él estaba en la casa de su primo.
And we were growing in the Lord, like I said before.
Y estaban creciendo con el Señor, como había dicho antes.
We had eaten some food.
Y habían comido comida.
They made some good enchiladas.
Muy ricas enchiladas.
And I remember when they were cleaning up and putting stuff away.
Y estaban limpiando y poniendo las cosas.
I saw my cousin do something I'd never seen my cousin do before.
Y miré al primo haciendo algo que nunca había visto antes.
He was there in the sink washing the dishes.
Estaba lavando los trastes.
And I was like, whoa, have mercy.
Y dijo, oh, ten piedad.
This guy is saved.
Este sí está salvo.
Because there was something different that I had never seen before.
Porque había algo diferente que nunca había visto antes.
It wasn't just lip profession.
No solamente eran por los labios.
He was changed.
Estaba cambiado.
And watching him watch those dishes was, to me, an evidence of something that had changed in his life.
Y mirando a él lavando los trastes era una evidencia de que sí había cambiado.
I'm going to be honest with you.
Honestamente.
It was a little bit later I started washing the dishes for my mom too.
Y después él empezó a lavar los trastes por su madre.
I was like, wow, man, that was amazing to me.
Eso era maravilloso para él.
But there's a byproduct to our faith.
Eso es un biproducto de la fe.
Good deeds.
Buenas obras.
He wasn't washing dishes to be saved.
Él no estaba lavando los trastes para ser salvo.
No, but because he was saved, he began to wash dishes.
Pero porque era salvo, por eso estaba lavando los trastes.
We need to be persistent in faith.
Tenemos que ser persistentes en la fe.
Look at Jude, verses 17 through 21.
Miremos a Judas en
verses 17 through 21.
En el versículo 17 al 21.
It says, but beloved, remember the words that were previously spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus, that they said to you in the last days, there will be scoffers who will walk after their own ungodly desires. These are the men who cause divisions, sensual, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, build up yourselves in your most holy faith, pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God while you are waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, which leads to eternal life. Jude is talking about being persistent in our faith.
Judas está hablando aquí de ser persistentes en la fe.
We need to continue going forward in our relationship with Christ.
Necesitamos continuar teniendo una relación con el Señor.
We need to make sure to attend to our faith.
Necesitamos asegurar de que estamos atendiendo nuestra fe.
We need to invest in our relationship with God.
Tenemos que añadir a nuestra fe.
You see, in this little book of Jude,
en este libro de Judas,
there were ungodly men trying to mislead the church.
Había muchos
trying to lead the people away from God.
Muchos pecadores que estaban tratando de persuadir a la iglesia.
And this that he was doing, that they were doing, was causing them.
Y esto que estaban haciendo los estaba causando.
It was causing them to take people away from God.
Estaba causando de que sacaran a gente de la iglesia.
And so Jude would say, you need to be persistent in your faith.
Y Judas estaba diciendo aquí que necesitabas ser persistente en la fe.
Be careful.
Ten cuidado.
There are those that would want to mislead you.
Hay muchos que quieren sacarte de la fe.
He says, in the last day, scoffers will come.
Y dice, en los últimos días, los pecadores van a venir.
These ones that would mislead them away from God.
Estos que van a tratar de persuadirte para afuera de la fe.
They would cause divisions.
Para causar división.
And they would be led by their own senses.
Y van a ser confiados en sus propios sentidos.
They wouldn't be led by the Spirit of God.
Ellos no van a ser guiados por el Espíritu Santo.
Let me tell you, we're living in those days.
Déjame decirte que estamos viviendo en esos días.
There is more sensuality today than there ever has been.
Hay más sensualidad en estos días que en todos los tiempos.
And we need to guard our own hearts.
Y nosotros tenemos que guardar nuestro corazón.
We need to understand the times that we're living in.
Necesitamos saber en los tiempos que estamos viviendo.
And so Jude tells them to build themselves up in their most holy faith.
Y Judas les está diciendo que tienen que construirse en una fe fuerte.
He tells them, pray in the Holy Spirit.
Él les dice que oren con el Espíritu Santo.
For those of us, we are Pentecostal, we believe that means pray in tongues.
Para aquellos que son pentecosteses, quiere decir que oren en lenguas.
We must build ourselves up in our most holy faith.
Tenemos que construir nosotros mismos para estar altos en la fe.
It's like working out in the Spirit.
Es como estar levantando pesas en el Espíritu.
Getting buff in the Spirit, amen.
Haciéndote muy musculoso en el Espíritu.
He's saying, be careful.
Les está diciendo, cuidado.
He says, keep yourselves in the love of God.
Que manténganse en el amor de Dios.
You see, there is the potential of our hearts being turned away.
Hay un peligro de que te puedes alejar del amor de Dios.
But we need to be careful.
Pero tenemos que tener cuidado.
And he also talks about dealing with those that are messing with the church.
Y también habla de todos aquellos que están tratando de destruir a la iglesia.
Look at verse 22.
Miren el verso 22.
He says, on some have compassion using discernment, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. There are some of those ungodly people that need to be shown mercy.
Hay algunos de esas personas que se necesita dejar compasión.
But there are others that need to be snatched out of the fire.
Pero hay otros que necesitan ser arrancados del fuego.
And yet there are others that need to be confronted.
Y hay otros que necesitan ser confrontados.
Well, God will give, you know, discernment in those particular cases. You know, there are times when some that are acting amiss or acting wrongly, sometimes they're very immature and they don't even realize what they're doing. And so with that individual, you would have to be a little bit more patient than with someone that is intentionally trying to hurt the sheep or intentionally trying to divide. And so God will give discernment with specific situations. So it's not going to be like the same with every person or every individual. It would be unique, you know, as per situation, you know. You know, sometimes we may have the ability, because of our relationship with an individual, to speak into their lives in a way that someone that may not know them has that ability and such. So there's, you know, different situations. God is also able to deal with those individuals too. I remember Pastor Carter Conlon, he's the former senior pastor of Times Square Church. He's now the leader of the church. I forget how it is, but Pastor Carter one time told a story of a man that was dividing the church. And so he told a story of a man dividing the church.
Estaba diciendo una historia donde alguien quería dividir a la iglesia.
And it was problematic for the churches there in Canada.
Y había muchos problemas aquí en la iglesia de Canadá.
But this guy was really doing harm to the body of Christ.
Y este hombre estaba haciendo mucho daño a la iglesia.
And Pastor Carter had, you know, rebuked him, had tried to correct him.
Y Pastor Carter lo regañó.
But he continued his divisive ways.
Pero este hombre seguía continuando haciendo y hablando mal de la iglesia.
And he tells the story how they were having an open air service.
Y empieza con la historia donde también estaba dando un servicio en público.
And the guy was still evidencing his pride and stubbornness.
Y este hombre seguía enseñando su orgullo.
And as they were there in the service,
y cuando estaban ahí en el servicio,
a big old flock of birds flew overhead.
Y muchos estaban volando muchos pájaros.
And all of a sudden, you know, they did their thing in the air.
Y de repente hicieron sus cosas en el aire.
They emptied themselves in the air.
Y se vaciaron ellos solos en el aire.
And all of a sudden, all of the poop of the bird landed on that guy's head.
Y todo el excremento de los pájaros cayó arriba de ese señor.
This guy in his pride was humiliated.
Este hombre en su orgullo fue humillado.
And I'm telling you what, God knows how to humble us, doesn't he?
Y es, déjame decirte que Dios sabe cómo humillarnos.
I remember a fellow minister of Pastor Carter's.
También un ministro seguidor de este pastor
was telling another story how a person was another problem in the church.
Estaba diciendo otra historia de que había otro señor con los mismos problemas.
And they were having a service.
Y también estaban teniendo un servicio.
And he says, I don't know why it happened this way.
Y no sabe por qué forma.
But the problematic person sat there in one of the pews.
Pero el hombre que era muy problemático estaba.
All of a sudden, all these flies and these gnats were just all over that one individual.
De repente, todos estos mosquitos y moscas estaban alrededor de este hombre.
It was so problematic, he had to get up and leave the church.
Era muy problemático que tuvo que levantarse y irse.
God has a way of getting people out, amen?
El Dios sabe cómo sacar a gente que no produce bien de esta iglesia.
Now don't get me wrong.
No me malinterpreten.
That doesn't mean if a fly is circling around you, you're in trouble.
No quiere decir que porque una mosca está alrededor de ti quiere corregirte.
Or you happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time and some bird poop hits you.
O si algún pájaro te cae el excremento a ti, no quiere decir nada.
That doesn't mean you're under God's judgment all the time.
No quiere decir que estés siendo juzgado por el Señor.
But these were some unique situations that did happen.
Pero estas son unas cosas que únicas que pasaron.
Our last point this morning,
el último punto,
is the necessity of love.
Es la necesidad del amor.
And we can turn to 1 John for this.
Y podemos ir a Primera de Juan.
John is known as the Apostle of Love.
Juan es llamado el apóstol del amor.
And his epistles have as its theme love.
En sus epístolas él tiene el tema del amor.
You can't read through John's letters and not be confronted with the subject of love.
No puedes leer el libro de Juan sin que no puedas leer que habla del amor.
And the first point is God loves us.
Y el primer punto es que Dios nos ama.
Can you say amen to that? God amen. Loves us. Look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3.
En primera de Juan, capítulo 3, del 1 al 3.
Does anybody want to read those verses? These are beautiful verses expressing love.
Estos versos son muy hermosos, donde expresan el amor.
The impact of God's love in our lives.
El impacto de el amor en nuestras vidas.
Must also have an impact in our daily living.
También tiene que tener un impacto en nuestra vida diaria.
We must be like God is, full of love.
Tenemos que ser como Dios es, lleno de amor.
You see, we shouldn't just say we love people and not show it.
No podemos decir que amamos a la gente y no enseñarlo.
No, it's just like he closed out in verse 18. Let us love not in word and speech, but in action and truth.
Aquí en verso 18, como dice que no digamos que amamos y en palabras, pero tienen que ser en hechos.
It should be displayed in our lives.
Tiene que ser desplegado en nuestras vidas.
Now, we shouldn't be surprised when the world doesn't understand us.
No tenemos que sorprendernos cuando el mundo no nos entiende.
It's never going to understand us as the church.
El mundo nunca nos va a entender como una iglesia.
The world will always misunderstand us.
El mundo todo el tiempo nos va a misinterpretar.
But despite all of that, we should be examples of God's love.
Pero a pesar de todo eso, tenemos que ser un ejemplo.
And it should be shown through actions.
Y debe ser enseñado en acción.
You see, God has called us to love others.
Dios nos ha llamado a amar a otros.
You see, God's love for humanity is shown that he gave his only son, Jesus Christ, for all of us.
Dios nos enseña que nos amó por medio de su hijo que mandó para morir por nosotros.
And so this love of God must be in display in our lives.
El amor de Dios tiene que ser desplegado por todos nosotros.
Look at 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 12.
Miren aquí en Primera de Juan, capítulo 4, del 7 al 12.
And it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice or propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we must also love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then verses 16 through 21, it says, And we have come to know and to believe the love of God, the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, God's love is perfected in us so that we may have boldness on the day of judgment because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears is not perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For whoever does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? We have this commandment from him, whoever loves God must love his brother. John is emphasizing the importance of displaying love as God's people.
Juan nos está enseñando aquí de cómo Dios ama a nuestra gente.
If we claim to love God and know God,
si nosotros clamamos decir que nosotros amamos,
yeah, if we claim to love God,
si nosotros clamamos que amamos a Dios,
then it will be displayed in our love for others.
So esto va a ser desplegado en cuando amamos a los demás.
Because if we know God, we know God is love.
Porque si nosotros sabemos o conocemos a Dios, sabemos que Dios es amor.
And the more that we love Him and the more we become like Him,
entre más amamos a Dios, más nos parecemos a Él.
Then we will become those that will love like God loves.
Entonces nos vamos a convertir como aquellos que aman a Dios.
It's actually really simple, isn't it?
Es muy simple.
But we, like John emphasizes over and over again,
pero como nosotros, Juan lo enfase aquí en esta carta,
we must display and show love to others.
Tenemos que enseñar el amor a otros.
And he says it clearly in those final verses, 19 through 21.
Y lo dice claramente en los últimos versos, 19 y 21.
Verse 20, he says, if we say, I love God,
en verso 21 dice que si, no, si yo digo que amo a Dios,
and we hate our brother,
y odio a mi hermano,
then we are liars.
Entonces somos mentirosos.
This is the scripture.
Esta es la escritura.
If we know God and love God,
if we, y nosotros amamos a Dios,
we will begin to love like God loves. Amen.
Y vamos a empezar a amar como Dios ama.
Amen. Let's finish with ministry in action this morning. First, examine your perception of Christ. Do you really recognize His preeminence in your life? Pray that God will help you overcome any misconceptions. Secondly, look for someone to whom you can show love this week in a tangible way. Try to find someone with whom you have never before had any interaction. Amen? And then lastly, let's pray for strength, wisdom, and love as you contend for the faith in your community. Praise the Lord.
Alabamos al Señor.
Thank God for the Bible. Amen?
Muchas gracias a Dios por la Biblia.
And thank God for the general epistles.
Y gracias a Dios por los epístolas generales.
Next Sunday, we'll go through a quick overview of the book of Revelation.
El otro domingo vamos a ver el libro de Revelación.
Amen. Isaiah. Are all demons fallen angels? There's two differences or two theological ways to answer that. Many believe, yes, that all the demons are fallen angels, that the fallen angels are these, you know, spirits, these demonic spirits that are, you know, whatever they're doing, the evil that they are transpiring, they're following the commands and the dictates of Satan himself as leader. There's another group that would say that the demons are the result of, remember the giants that the Old Testament describes? These were a race of half-human, half-angelic beings. They were a hybrid, whatever they were. I mean, they weren't fully human, nor were they angelic. But the result of these, the cohabiting between angels and these women, resulted in these giants that were men of renown, the scripture says, but they were huge. Anyways, many believe after they were destroyed, whether it was through the flood or they were even, they kind of made a reappearance during the time of David, Goliath and some of these tribes like the sons of Anakim and others or the Rephidims were giants. When they were destroyed, you know, whether through the flood or otherwise, many believe that those disembodied spirits are the demons as well. And so it's interesting that demonic spirits are always trying to find a place to habit or a place to inhabit, or in other words, they try to find something to dwell in. That's why they possess, you know, individuals at times. You know what I mean? Now, I don't want to open up a can of worms, but as Christians, we don't need to fear demons or fear demonic possession. Amen? We don't need to be afraid of being cursed and stuff like that. But where do the demons come from? There's those two ideas. One, that they are all fallen angels doing the bidding of Satan, or there's this group known as the fallen angels that are doing their wickedness, but then there's this other group, the demons, that are disembodied spirits that are evil and wicked in nature, even as those original hybrids were, you know, because, you know, by the time of Noah, the scripture says the imagination of the heart was only evil continually. And it's believed by the Jewish Targums and literature that these were vicious and very wicked giants. And so, I don't know if that answers your question, but those are two different interpretations of where they possibly have come from. We do know that there's a hierarchy in the kingdom of darkness. You know, there's not just fallen angels and that's it, but there's order to it. There's more powerful and subservient ones and stuff like this, you know. And so, you know, some call them strong men. You know, these are like the overseers of certain things. But we can break the powers of darkness through our prayers and through our evangelization and reaching out, you know, as God begins his kingdom begins to advance in certain areas. So hopefully that answers your question about demons. Any other questions before we
close?
I think what it's describing there, it's known as the Table of Nations, that chapter, Genesis chapter 10. And yes, it's a division between Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Shem is where we get the Semites, the Jews, the anti-Semites, and the Semite. Ham went down south into Egypt and to Ethiopia. Shem went more into the central, and then Shem, Ham, and Japheth went up north. And then, of course, you had the dividing of the nations at that time. When it speaks of the language there, I'm not sure, because I think the Tower of Babel was after the fact, wasn't it? And so it's describing the fact that they brought their culture and their family, almost like their own culture and ways where they went, versus a specific dialect. You know, unless they had a specific language that they were using, but it was still understood by all, because there was only one language at the time. And so the confusion of languages happened at the Tower of Babel, and that caused even more division among peoples, because who would you understand but those that you understood, you know, that talked the same language you were talking. And so it's more than likely describing more that they were taking their own culture and ways where they went versus a specific language where they went, because Shem, Ham, and Japheth would have all spoke the same language, you know. So it's not like Shem, you know, created his own language among his people and Ham and vice versa. And so that confusion of languages happened there at the Tower of Babel. So we have to assume that it was more describing their ways and culture, their manners that they took, versus a specific language that began to divide, you know, like a return to a globalism. Yeah, globalism and what's happening today is definitely a return to Babel. You know, the scripture in the book of Revelation talks about a mystery Babylon, you know. And there is the unification of the earth that is beginning to transpire. And so, yes, there is this unification that is happening today. There's even computer programs. I know Microsoft Translate, you know, that has the ability for a speaker to speak in English. And if you have that app on your phone, you can turn it on, and it'll be translating in real time so that you can understand exactly what someone from another language is saying in your own language automatically. And so, yes, there's a unification happening, you know, and yes, there is a counterfeit, or, you know, it's like they say history repeats itself, you know, and so you're beginning to see this unification of the world together. And the intention of all of this is very real today. That's why we have so much stuff today about globalism and globalists and one world and all this kind of stuff. It's going to happen more and more, especially when the Antichrist makes his appearance. And so until then, I think one of the biggest hindrances to that major globalism and the takeover, you know, of the world is America itself. But, you know, that's why we need to pray for America. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for all that we learned today, and we do ask that you would continue to be with us the remainder of our service. We thank you for all that we've been learning. through the story of the Old Testament and the New. And we pray that you would continue to teach us when we go into Revelation next Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.